Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Can't wait to see the White Sox lineup for Game 1 today. We should be getting that soon. So we'll monitor Twitter for that. Go ahead, Yurko.
No, we're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good. I thought you like.
No. I had an issue with the phone.
I got you.
All of a sudden, it got loud on me. I'm like, where'd it come from?
No, I didn't even hear anything. Can't wait to see the White Sox line up against the A's. Game one today, Giolito versus Lizardo. And then Keuchel will go against Chris Bassett tomorrow.
Is Roberts going to be sixth?
I don't know. Six or seven. Let's hope Aloy's in there. He should be probably DHing. At least that's what it sounded like.
So that means no Grandal today, right?
That was exactly what that would mean. Yeah. You're right about that. Takes Grandal away. You know, the White Sox will face a familiar face. And as Jesse Rogers getting on a plane to go out to cover the series, see his boy Tommy La Stella. Tommy La Stella in this series.
Nice.
He's also got his guy in Florida, Kinsler. He loves Kinsler.
Boy, he's got Brandon Kinsler, too. Jesse's really torn. He's not sure what the hell to do. Should he stay here and watch the Cubs? Should he go to Florida and cheer? Florida's coming here. Miami's going out. He can't leave. You're right. He's got his guy, Brandon Kinsler, coming back, Merck. The White Sox catch a huge break, too. Matt Chapman is out. You know, he got hurt about a month ago. Matt Chapman's one of the best, most underrated players in baseball because he plays in Oakland. He is certainly the best defensive third baseman in the game right now.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I know you were going to, Yurk. I mean, he's absolutely...
His D-WAR is pretty nice.
Forget about it, Yurk. He's absolutely sensational. He's won the last, I think, two or three gold gloves in the American League at third. He's the best. But he's out for the year. So the White Sox catch a break there. We're waiting to see the lineup. We're going to have the game for you at 2 o'clock today, and then Black and Abdallah will be on to do post-game in the baseball show right after. And then we've got the Cubs for you tomorrow at 1. So lots of playoff baseball, NBA Finals. Keep it locked here to ESPN 1000 because we're going to have a ton of play-by-play over this next month. Let's say hi to Mike in Florida on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you doing?
We're good, Mike.
I'm doing good, working from home for like this 6 straight months after something that was supposed to be like 2 weeks long, but whatever. I got a question and a comment about the whole Ryan Pace thing. Now, I don't really remember the whole draft scenario, but I know that Watson wasn't brought in. So my question is, what do you think the chances are that Ryan Pace just carries his everyday routine with everybody, that he's the smartest guy in the room and he cannot be told any differently, especially that he is wrong? Now, that's my question. My comment is, my neighbor here in Florida went to college with him at Eastern.
Yeah.
And has confirmed that Ryan Pace will tell you that he is the smartest man in the room.
Really?
And you cannot...
I don't know.
Tell him otherwise.
Is that right?
He's just kind of the D word. Hmm. He's a Richard. I just want to see what you guys think about that.
I've never heard. I don't suspect that about Ryan Pace. We haven't been around him a whole heck of a lot. And from whatever I have heard from people around there is that he doesn't. I don't think he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. I mean, Theo thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
Chances are Theo is. I got news for you.
Yeah.
Theo went to Yale.
Well, there's a difference between being the smartest guy in the room and you happen to be a baseball executive and thinking that you're the smartest football mind in the room, where Ryan Pace might, not being the smartest individual in the room.
True. Maybe
wouldn't
the
be
smartest
able to
football
tell you
mind.
Much about literature, or, you know, Mozart and stuff like that, but certainly would think that when it comes to football, he's the smartest guy in the room.
That's true.
I've met him a handful of times. That never came off to me that way.
Not me either.
That doesn't mean that's not what kind of individual he is. He's wrong in the Trubisky thing. He was wrong. He was dead wrong. He had it all wrong. It was catastrophically wrong. And I'll go back to the sign that they released, the video, where he's talking about all the people that had Mitch Trubisky as the number one quarterback.
Right, like the draft pundits.
He went through it all.
Yeah.
Well, number one. If you were confident in what you were doing and who you were picking, you would never have to do that.
Yeah, why would you have to care what who Mel Kiper thinks is the number one
quarterback? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If you've analyzed it, you've looked at it, you've made your assessment and your judgment, you don't need anybody else backing you up on what you know and what you think.
That was kind of stunning. I mean, and if you were really confident in what you were doing, if you believe in your process, like, why are you supporting it with what Mike Mayock thinks?
Right.
Who cares what Mike Mayock thinks?
Exactly.
Who cares what Todd Miggins? Like, we care because this is what we do. Yes. We have fun
We've
with it.
We've got to throw things
We
around.
Talk about it. Mel's right. great. Todd's great. But like
six opinions. We put them together and we see if, and we bandy-boo it about.
If I were a GM, like, would I be wrapped up in who Todd McShay thought was the best prospect? Or would I just go out and do my job and scout the best prospect? So, yeah, I don't think that Ryan, I don't know. And again, we don't know him. I mean, Mike had a friend that went to college with him. Okay. But, I mean, he never strikes me as that. Did he make a mistake with Trubisky? He did. Did he make a mistake in hiding it from everybody? He did. You know why he did that, I think? Because the year before, the pick was made for Leonard Floyd to appease John Fox. And I think they knew that maybe already a year in, that wasn't a very good pick. And I think Ryan Pace said to himself, you got to remember what the Bears felt like they were getting when John Fox came here. The Trestman era was so bad. Those 2 years were so bad, especially that last year.
They needed to re-legitimize the coaching position.
And I'll never forget that first training camp, John Fox's first training camp. I'm not exaggerating, folks. If I could tell you that 6, 7 Bears personnel people, I'll just say, I'm not going to identify them. And Yurko knows this because you witnessed it too. How many times we heard how great John Fox was. This is so different. He's such a badass. He's so confident. He's going to fix. Oh, this is so different than the last boob. And this guy is going to, he walks around with a swagger and he's amazing. He's football Jesus. I'm not kidding. We heard it.
Football Jesus.
He's so good. Do you know how much different it is right now with John Fox? Okay, good. That's great. Yeah, let's hope John fix it. John had a pretty powerful voice early on. He stunk too here. I like John. He's a fun guy to hang out with.
He's a great guy to hang out with. Drink a beer and smoke a cigar with and have a bourbon. Fantastic.
But John Fox had a tremendous amount of influence into Leonard Floyd. That's who John Fox wanted. That's another buster. Leonard Floyd.
Let you know right away.
Yes, you did.
What I thought.
In fairness, you did. I think Ryan Pace got to the next offseason and he said, nobody's messing with this pick. And he fell in love with Trubisky and he didn't tell anybody because he knows John Fox would have maybe had the gravitas or the clout in the organization to say, we are not drafting Mitchell Trubisky. John Fox wanted Deshaun Watson. If they were going to take a quarterback, John Fox wanted Watson.
And you'd be better off?
Well, what do we think?
Yes.
I think so. And so I think Pace did that knowing that Fox can't know because I'm not going to get my guy.
And that's why he was ambushed on draft day, John Fox.
Correct. John Fox found out, an hour before?
As was Mike Lennon ambushed.
As was Mike Lennon, yes. They all found out about an hour before that they were taking Trubisky. And then, at that point, it was too late for
and
Fox.
And then even more puzzling, just to let everybody know, was the trade-up for him.
Well, that'll never
in a self-created market in his own mind that somebody was after him.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong? That was.
He got played
it
a
was self-created.
Bit.
Oh, he played.
He got played.
Played like a fiddle.
That John Lynch team, man, I tell you. I guess you put maybe more. Although, there's a lot of depth on that team for Shanahan to work with. I guess you give him some credit. John Lynch went from looking like a genius to being terrible to looking like a genius again.
Yes.
We ride these emotional highs with these guys, don't we? They had the benefit of playing the Jets and the Giants, but all of the injuries that the 49ers have sustained early on here, and to go out and win both those games, pretty impressive. I know those two, they might have played the two worst teams in the league, but man, listen, they got no healthy players.
They also went to the Super Bowl last year.
They did. No, I know. Yeah, but I'm
just
specifically looking at
the fourth quarter when they crapped down their leg.
Yeah. Harding's in Charlotte. What's up, Harding?
Harding!
Going on, Garb. I'm listening to you talk about Patrick Mahomes, and I'm like, are we the Chicago Trailblazers now? But I honestly don't feel too bad, man. I'd love Mahomes as our quarterback, but I don't think he would have actually wanted to stay a Bear. Like, the way that the franchise historically has supported and developed quarterbacks has just been non-existent. And to hear what you guys are saying about Ryan Pace, selection process and his validation of the selection through Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. Mm-hmm. You know who doesn't get fired for making a bad decision there? Is Mel Kiper and Todd McShay.
Of course.
They can be wrong as often as they need to
That's
be.
That's right.
They don't get fired for it. So, like, at the end of the day, I question everything he decides to do there, because to me, if you have that much confidence in going and getting Mitch Trubisky, having a trade-up for him at the number two pick, you know who also needed a quarterback? I think the Cleveland Browns needed a quarterback in that draft. So if he's good enough to be the number two pick, I'm sorry, Myles Garrett is great. Quarterback is too essential to a franchise team. If he's that good, the team ahead of you would have taken him. That's just my opinion. And you look at the eight or nine teams that have passed on Watson and passed on Mahomes. Mahomes was an outlier. Watson is who we should have picked. Unfortunately, John Fox was right in that situation as much as he was wrong about Floyd.
Yes, so, that's true. Too bad he couldn't. Thanks, Harding.
Hey, Harding, thank
too
you.
Bad they couldn't hear Foxy's voice
and
on that one.
We couldn't get to Harding yesterday. Harding was on waiting for us.
Oh, was he? I didn't know.
2 o'clock hour.
Yeah. I didn't see
it's
that.
All right. Just I recognized the fact that he was calling.
You know, Foxy was right on Watson.
Yeah, and the Floyd thing was he's 215, and I got that from my nephew who was a coach. Well, he was an assistant after taking a medical hardship down there. I said you said 250, right? He goes, no, he played at 215.
215.
215. I go, boy, that's going to be tough coming into this league trying to rush the passer. At the strong safeties weigh 215 pounds. And the other thing was he only had 17 sacks in college.
Yeah, that's right.
And he played inside linebacker. He didn't play outside linebacker.
Yeah.
He didn't have his hand in the dirt. He didn't come off the corner. So he's never developing moves coming off the corner. Khalil Mack always came off the corner. Khalil Mack developed moves to go against offensive tackles. If you've never in college developed anything going against offensive tackles and all your blitzes are coming up the middle, well, then guess what? Why do they expect you to be able to do something else all of a sudden when you get in the NFL?
You fall in love with the athleticism.
It doesn't make any sense. And
when you can spot that, I wonder why they can't. And I'm sure there are some outliers like a 205th, but Yurko called that right away. He said 215. You're not going to play this position in this league at 215. I'll never forget we were at training camp.
Right. You could do it with guile. You can do it, with smoke and mirrors. You can do it. Eventually, you've got to take somebody on and beat him.
I'll never forget.
That does more than all the other stuff.
We were sitting at training camp, and the Bears had just drafted late in the first round. Ready, Merck? Gabe Kareemi. And we had a very pleasant conversation with Gabe Kareemi.
Great conversation.
At training camp. But he got up and he walked away, and Yurko nudged me. I'm sitting next to him. We're up on the dais, and he nudged me, and he goes, look at his legs. And I said, what? And Yurko goes, look at his legs, kid. They're toothpicks. And he goes, he's got no chance.
They
and
weren't.
I'm like, look, you haven't seen him play a snap. Guess what? Yurk was right. He had no chance.
Knew right away.
He goes, look at his legs, kid. They're
and
like
he had had knee trouble in college, too.
He did.
So you saw some of the battle scars. But then you looked at him overall, and you looked at his body type.
Yurko said right away, he goes, no chance.
I said, boy, he's got toothpicks for legs, man. This is not good.
He's nudging me. Going,
guess what? Offensive line is played with your legs.
It is pretty amazing. Yurko can do that, and Waddle can do that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I was my first ever Bears practice working at the station. I'm standing next to Waddle, and Joaquin Iglesias, is that the kid's name?
Who out of Oklahoma stunk.
But he was a great player at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah,
so was
David Terrell in Michigan.
He runs one route, and Waddle looks at me and goes, kid can't play. I'm like, stop it. He goes, kid can't play. And then he runs another. He goes, terrible route, kid can't play. He wouldn't even make the team.
And I don't know if he did.
And then he said.
He might have. He hung on for a year or two.
And then he said to me, also, I can't stand that he keeps taking his helmet off. He goes, keep your helmet on. I'm like, wow.
My God, it's classic. All right, we'll get back out to the phones coming up. 312-332-3776. Meller has the waiver watch for everybody coming up next. Fantasy football players, stay tuned. This isn't a who should I bench, who should I start. This is who should you be adding to your roster. We are going into week 4. The waiver wire is open today. Meller gives you the skinny coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, rock and roll. There's Tommy. There's our guy Greg Braggs. There's Darren, Executive Director Bernie's Book Bank. Where's our guy Sammy? Sammy's making the walk. Patrick Manley. We're ready to rock and roll. Thanks, Tommy. You're awesome. Bernie'sBookBank.org and WalkIsOneChicago.com. Let's crank it up.
We'll be right back. I love this song.
John Bonham on the Kit, ladies and gentlemen.
Led Zeppelin coming at you. WNBC.
Catman kicking off the walk.
Carm, I've already got an update. I was texting with Sam Frasco. Cap already took a little break. A little tired.
You're not already? You're 1 mile in. What's going on?
Cap will join us in 20 minutes or so. We'll get an update.
I walking texted home. Sam. I said, how goes it so far? He goes, we just got started, but so far, so good.
Cap lives 29 miles? Is that right?
29 miles.
29
miles.
Long-ass walk.
At what point does the Uber stop by?
I don't know. Bernie's Book Bank.
That's at what point do they go from one location to the other and he stops? We just hop in the Uber and say, okay,
they've raised too much money. And it is nice how much money they've raised for a great cause, Bernie's Book Bank. So you can donate there. Let's get to our buddy Jeff Meller. Meller has the waiver watch for everybody. And this is going to be our fantasy segment each and every week. When the waiver wire opens Tuesday, Meller's telling you what to look for. He gave out some great advice last week, including Miles Gaskin, who had another pretty decent game. If you needed Gaskin to fill in at a pinch, he got you double-digit points last week, Jeff.
He did indeed, Carm, and that's why I hope people are tuning in, because we gave out Gaskin last week, and he did get 27 touches, and half the battle in fantasy football is just the volume. So, you know, now if you look around, he is like one of the top waiver wire ads in a lot of websites that suggest him. So, like, hopefully you were listening last week when he gave him out, because now you don't have to go and claim him.
Not nearly as many significant injuries after week three, which is a good thing. But look, people are still, there's a lot of banged up players, a lot of guys injured. Davante Adams missed another game. So what do we need to focus on for this week when the waiver wire is open? Who should we be looking for?
Well, so the first thing I'll mention is, and I know you guys mentioned it too, the Titans yes. situation obviously is going to play a huge role in fantasy. I don't really have much advice, because if that game against the Steelers happens to be postponed, it's going to create a little bit of havoc for any people who maybe have Derrick Henry, or if you happen to be relying on James Conner. You know, there's no real alternative in that situation. Just be aware that it's on the table, you know, a postponement. I know the NFL is going to try and get a game in, but you have to be aware of that.
Yep.
And also we'll be monitoring the Vikings as well, because even though they haven't had any positive tests, you know, they obviously played the Titans last week. So those are just situations that you got to be aware of. Kind of make your plans now as you're putting in your claims, because you know, it's going to be harder to sift through things if you don't have a backup in play after your waivers run. So just things to keep aware of. Also, so I guess the first big name I'll mention for this week, I think the best ad is Carlos Hyde. He's available in 85% of leagues. He's going to probably be the Seahawks lead back, with Chris Carson likely to miss at least this week, maybe 2 weeks. So Carlos Hyde is the guy who's going to step in and likely see the most carries for the Seahawks. Obviously that offense runs through Russ, so it's not necessarily going to be a huge ad for the season, but for 1 week, I think Carlos Hyde is a plug and play, especially with the, you know, the Vikings and Titans and Steelers and Texans, possibly games in flux.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carlos Hyde, look to add him. How about who else? Any other running backs we should
sure.
focus on?
Yeah, I'll fire him fast and furious here. Adrian Peterson's available in 64% of leagues. Mm. Look, he's ancient. He's 35 years old, but he got 22 more carries last week. Picked up 75 yards.
Hasn't he been their leading rusher in every game, Jeff, right?
He has. Yeah. He's got 43 attempts on the season, 4 catches. Look, he's not explosive like he once was, but when the hole's there, he's still got the great vision that made him such an elite back for so long. So Peterson's a guy in deeper leagues who I feel okay plugging in as my second running back or flex play. I think, you know, if there are goal line carries, he'll be in the mix for those as well. So Peterson, just the volume alone, is worth adding if he's available. I'll mention, you know what, Rex Burkhead had 3 touchdowns this week.
Yes.
I'm telling you what. But here's the thing. That's the Patriots. That's what they do. I'm not even as interested in him as I am. I'm more interested in Damian Harris, who is currently available in 78% of leagues. He's still right now in IR. He's eligible to come back this week for the Patriots. He's somebody for the season who I think is more interesting, because the problem with Rex Burkhead is that week in and week out, you just never know when you're going to be able to start him and trust him. You know, that's what Belichick does. I think Damian Harris is somebody who is more likely to get the lead back role in the Patriots backfield. If you're absolutely like in a huge, like a deep league, 12 teams plus, and you just need, you know, somebody to plug in because you've been decimated by injuries and there's nothing left on the waiver wire. Jeff Wilson is available in 92% of leagues. Now, he also is somebody who he's more of a goal line play. You're basically crossing your fingers and hoping that he can score a touchdown. But the Niners have the Eagles on Sunday Night Football this week. So, you know, Jerick McKinnon's going to get more touches for them. But Jeff Wilson, somebody who may come in and get some goal line carries. He scored two short touchdowns last week. So Jeff Wilson is worth adding in deep, deep leagues. I'll also mention Brian Hill, who Bears fans run all over the Bears this week. I think for me, the big takeaway is what's wrong with the Bears run defense. And I'm sure you guys can address that more, Yurko, in depth. Like, is it just Danny Trevathan at this point is done and cooked? But Brian Hill, I'm not getting too excited about him. I think Todd Gurley will still see more touches for them. So those are the running backs I'm eyeing this week.
How about I picked up Justin Jefferson late. I was happy that he was available and put him in my lineup. That was huge. Thank God. Any running back, wide receivers we should be looking at here?
Yeah, so Justin Jefferson is the number one ad for wide receivers. He's available in 63% of leagues and 7 catches, 175 yards. And look, he's got the first round pedigree too. So you know the Vikings want to use him and get him involved. I still think Adam Thielen's the main guy there, but Justin Jefferson also is somebody who is worth an ad for sure. Brandon Ayuk. We've talked about him on this show quite a bit. He's available in 79% of leagues. He was productive last week, and now Deebo Samuel his return is on the horizon, and George Kittle may be back as well this week. So that's going to eat into whatever Ayuk can actually do. But I think of all the guys who I'm going to name here, he's got the most talent. And if for whatever reason, you know, Deebo Samuel's coming back from that, fracture, right?
Is that what they call it? A Jones fracture? It's his foot. It was a foot injury, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a Liz Frank, but a Jones.
No, it's
a Jones.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think they call it Jones fracture, don't they?
Who knows? The Johnson rod.
Johnson rod, yeah. Yeah, it's a Jones fracture. That's exactly what it is.
It's a Jones fracture.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought I wasn't making that up. But Deebo Samuel is supposed to be back soon, so you have to be concerned about him. But Ayuk is somebody who has a lot of talent, and I'm interested in him, available in 79% of leagues. T. Higgins is available in 91% of leagues for the Bengals. He had 5 catches, 40 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And more importantly, John Ross was made inactive. T. Higgins has stepped into the starting lineup. And with A.J. Green, you know, still dealing with his own issues and maybe not looking like the A.J. Green that we're used to, T. Higgins is somebody who's worth adding as well. And then Alan Lazard, both due to injury. Chris Godwin had a hamstring injury, likely to miss this week. And, of course, Davante Adams, if he is not available this week, Alan Lazard, you saw what Aaron Rodgers has to throw to somebody. Lazard, he just doesn't have the deep speed. But, look, he had 2 long catches. He wasn't able to convert the one to a long touchdown that should have been. He was caught from behind. But, look, if Aaron Rodgers is throwing you the ball, you're going to be in a good position for fantasy purposes. So Lazard is somebody who I would start if Adams is out. If Adams is out, I don't feel great about starting Lazard.
All right.
You know what? Let me give you couple quick tight ends, too, Carm, before you spring.
Why don't you do that for us?
Look, big Nick energy. Jimmy Graham has it now. I think he's got 3 touchdowns on the season, 6 for 60 this past Sunday. And, look, I don't think he was worth the money that Ryan Pace gave him. But the reality is, in fantasy football, they're looking to him near the goal line. He still has that big frame that he can use to box out defenders. And I think now Bears offensive players as a whole are better fantasy plays, because I think Nick's going to keep them on target more often. They're going to be more efficient offensively, even if it's just picking up, you know, a few more first downs per game. 10 to 15% yardage increase, I think, with Nick Foles under center. So I think Jimmy Graham is somebody who you can actually consider starting. And then Logan Thomas, he has run the second most routes of tight ends across football. Now, he's only been able to catch 4 passes in each game. So his numbers are kind of hidden, but he's somebody who, if you're looking for a tight end who might be able to pop, if they can get anything going in Washington, and, you know, I don't know how long they're going to stick with Dwayne Haskins. Obviously, they picked him in the first round, so they have a lot invested. But if for whatever reason they actually decide to go to Alex Smith at some point, and I know he's got the leg injury, who knows what he's capable of, but if Alex Smith gets in under center for the Washington football team, Logan Thomas could be a huge beneficiary. So if you're hurting at the tight end spot, Logan Thomas might be somebody who could be a home run play for you.
All right, a lot of names. Hit your waiver wire, take Jeff's advice, and then remember, Meller's got the full hour of fantasy every Sunday morning, too, where you can call and say, who should I start, who should I sit? Meller, good work. Thanks, bud.
My pleasure, boys. Talk to you later.
Jeff Meller at Jeff_Meller on Twitter. We've got breaking Cubs news. David Ross has announced that Kyle Hendricks will start game one tomorrow. Yu Darvish will start game two. So Hendricks tomorrow, we're going to have that game at one right here on ESPN 1000, just like we have the White Sox today at two, game one of that series out in Oakland. You will hear Kyle Hendricks. Has Miami announced a starter? Did they line it up so that Sixto can start?
Dan Marino.
Funny.
See, that kind of look right now for you.
Okay. I don't know how they've got it lined up. I'm not
Sixto?
Sure.
Sixto
Sanchez, baby. Ooh, baby, is he good.
Good player.
All right, he looks like he's going to be the real deal. We'll talk to JD coming up next, get an update on the Bears. How are they going to look going forward? And for how long with Nick Foles under center? Jeff Dickerson next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko. Cap is, I think he said, 3 miles in on Twitter. Did I see that? He's going to join us in about 15. We'll get an update. JD's got an update for us right now on the Bears. He is at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter, and he joins Carmen and Yurko on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, JD?
Used to love running those trails that the Catman is walking on right now when I lived in Chicago.
Brings back memories, JD.
A lot of really good memories, not e-learning memories, no. But really good memories. So we're good here. Could not participate in the walk because of everything going on. Very busy week for the Bears as they get set for, guys, a pretty good Colts team on Sunday. Yeah. And, you know, we will talk to Nick Foles, I'm sure, tomorrow. Matt Nagy and all the assistant coaches were available yesterday. And it's just really a theme here when you hear Nagy and John DeFilippo and Frank Reich in Indianapolis, who, remember, he spent time with Nick Foles in Philadelphia, along with Matt Nagy and DeFilippo. They just talk about Nick Foles and just his uncanny ability to see the field. And he has this tremendous recall because of all the experiences he's had in the past. And one thing you've really never heard anyone, except for maybe Cap, say about Mitch, is that he sees the field really well. So that's one thing they're hoping will get better as we move on. But, guys, we have to be real here. Nick Foles is 31. He's bounced around. This is his fifth team. He's been injured before. There's no guarantee this works. But I feel like Sunday the Bears think they can do a lot more offensively because they have someone that they trust can see the field and be a lot more accurate, guys, on those downfield throws.
Yeah, I know that the coaches were really enamored with the throw again, right, JD? That's kind of the one Nagy singled out, that was the play of the game. That might have been a fourth down play, too. I think it was
fourth and six. It was a great throw. But, I mean, still to me is Foles recognizing before the game-winning throw to Miller that the pressure was coming, that he was going to have to kill it and get rid of it. And he told Anthony Miller, I'm throwing it to the L in Falcons in the end zone where the logo is painted on the turf. I'm throwing it to the L. Be there. And what happens? The pressure comes. Foles gets smoked. He throws the ball to the L. Anthony Miller is in the right spot. He makes the catch. These are just things that really did not happen with Trubisky, who is a superior athlete. He moves better, a lot younger, but it's just, guys, I mean, there are going to be a lot of, I think, differences in what you see and what they believe they can do. Whether or not it happens, because now the schedule gets tougher. The cupcakes are gone.
Mostly.
Colts are pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, Tampa Bay on Thursday night is going to be tough.
Yep. Yeah, you don't play Jacksonville for a long time.
Yeah, they got some tough games coming up. That's true.
Yeah, was it just me or did it look like he pumped a little bit of life into that squad offensively?
He did. I mean, the whole team, Yurk. I mean, you could just see the whole team got rallied around him, pumped it up. No one is saying that Trubisky is – no one dislikes Trubisky. It's just sometimes the play was limited and it was so inconsistent. Now they feel like they've got someone who is more consistent, someone you can depend on a little more to give you some even play. But again, it doesn't mean that this team is going 16-0. It doesn't mean they're going to win playoff games. We have no idea what's going to take place between now and the end of the season. But Nick Foles just has, I think, a lot more credibility. Even though he was only here for a couple of months, they've seen him practice. They understand that he knows the offense. Look, this is the thing. He knows the scheme so well. Even though it's a different scheme that Nagy runs compared to Andy Reid, Nick Foles has had time now to catch up and I think master that. And you watch what happens now. A week of all the first-team reps, more experience with Nagy calling plays for him. I think they're going to come out Sunday and take a lot more chances because they feel like they can take those chances.
How do they replace Cohen's 10 to 12 touches a game?
That's a tough one there. I mean, they're going to promote Artavis Pierce, I'm sure, from the practice squad. They've got Ryan Nall. You know, they've got Cordero Patterson who will have his carries. I think the best way, though, is to lean on David Montgomery a little more. I think he's capable, Carmen Yurk, of more. I feel like when they drafted him, they believed he was a three-down back who could handle that larger responsibility. I think that's what you do. You sprinkle in the other guys, absolutely. And Pierce, you know, looked good in camp. Pierce was like the first guy who, when you watched him in training camp and you said, okay, there's no doubt he's on the practice squad. There's no doubt he will be back, especially since they expanded the practice squads this year with COVID and everything. So maybe he's up. You know, maybe that he gives them something. I think Nall has been up. You know, they like him to work him in a little bit. But Tariq Cohen is a loss because even though the numbers have not been great, they did run some stuff through him. And he was someone that the other team guys did have to pay attention to because of his speed. And isn't it such a bummer that he began to start looking like sort of the rookie Tariq Cohen a little bit last Sunday on that nice delayed handoff early in the game, and he's getting some yards, and then the injury happens, and he's done for the year. And sadly for him, well, there's two things here. One, it's brutal because that injury, as Yurko can tell you, is going to take a long time to recover from, an ACL tear. I mean, we'll be having conversations late next summer about will he be ready for week one. And then you wonder about a guy who's really built for speed, how that affects him going forward. But at least, guys, he got paid. You know, I mean, I know we're not about
that,
you know,
going for him.
Yep.
Not about money on this show, on the station. But you know what? Darn it. Think about if this would have happened.
I know.
And he wouldn't have gotten that extension. Then he would have been just, you know what? He would have been in bad shape. So at least he's got the security. He'll be back next year. He'll attack the rehab, and hopefully he can be the same type of player a year from now.
JD, thanks, buddy. We appreciate the update. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, JD. We'll see you. There he is, Jeff Dickerson. You made note yesterday, the back shoulder throw to Wims that almost like caught Wims by
surprise.
Surprise. Mike Fury said, I don't know that he was meaning to take a shot at Mitch, but did you see what the Bears wide receivers coach said yesterday? Obviously, we haven't had a lot of those the last two or three years, so it's going to happen now. Yikes.
And I mean, I don't know, again, for a quarterback, it's instinctive. I see him even, I'm going back shoulder.
Man.
Because you can't really, there's no room to plop it up there. He's not looking at the quarterback. Your receiver is. Ball's under, you get to stop and come back, otherwise draw an interference penalty.
Marino invented that, right?
Oh, Marino did. At Cleveland, 1990. He hit Mark Duper on the back hip. He called it a back hip throw.
Back hip, yeah.
Because he was going for the back hip.
Right.
So there was man-to-man coverage. Could have been Frank Minifield. Remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Great player. He turns around, and right on the hip is where he threw the ball.
Yeah.
And he got him. And they were right next to each other, so he slipped it in behind Minifield.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, let's do we have that Allen Robinson sound? We got Allen Robinson was on First Take this morning, right?
That's correct.
We could play Allen Robinson, or we're going to catch up with Cap for a few minutes and see how the walk's going. We'll do that next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We'll catch up. up with Cap here in just a second. Let's listen to Allen Robinson. He was on First Take this morning. We had a couple bites, right, Jerry? He's talking about Nick Foles.
That's right. Here's the first bite from A-Rob talking about Nick Foles.
He's a Super Bowl winner. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, and I think the plays that you've seen him make, you know, throughout the course of his career, like you're saying, you know, in big games, in big moments, you know, I think that's what, you know, makes him him. You know, again, he's never afraid of any moment at all. You know, he doesn't fear a defense. He doesn't fear anything. You know, when he come in there, he's running the show. You know, and again, I think that's what makes him special.
Big yeah. brass ones on Nick Foles.
And the Bears' chances going forward.
All right.
First and foremost, you know, on my team is that I don't think that the confidence in ourselves have never wavered. You know, again, I mean, the last two seasons prior to this year, we had 120 games. We know that we got the players in the locker room, you know, to get to the playoffs, to win our division. And we know we have that, you know. And then this year, starting off 3-0, you know, we want to just continue to do, you know, what we do. But at the end of the day, you know, the most important thing for us is to win a division, you know, and we feel like we can do that. You know, again, we've done that before 2 years ago, and we feel like we could do it again.
All right, there's A-Rob, and he did not throw Mitch under the bus at all, as I understand it. Saw some of the transcripts from earlier today talking on First Take, being a pro as always. Still waiting for his new money, though, and he had a much better game. He responded nicely, although he does have to grab those 50-50s. I mean, like Waddle says, the other guy gets paid too, but 2 weeks in a row to have a defensive back wrestle the ball away from you, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, you need to be a little bit stronger in the air. We do. We love him.
And he
need to be a little
game.
Bit stronger
in the air. $123, but
you know who's the happiest little camper in the world?
Who? Allen Robinson.
Yeah. The ball's going to be distributed, but he's going to have a chance to make bigger plays.
All right. Let's get to Cap. He is like about 4 miles. What are you, 4 miles in?
Just about four. I think 3.88 right now on my iWatch.
All right. So you're moving at a pretty good clip here. You got about four down, 25 to go. Are you moving at the pace that you had hoped?
Yeah, actually, we're moving quicker because we had a checkpoint at Fullerton and the lake, and there were a whole bunch of people out there, including Dave Scharf and Danny Lynch from the station, of course, our promotions team. But there were a bunch of other people. There were some listeners. Hey, man, we were listening. So really cool, and we're making good progress, and it's an awesome day. So Tracy Butler's delivering on the weather.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's a perfect day, right? It's not too hot. This will keep you cool. Do you have a wardrobe change for when the sun starts to go down later?
I have a cool hoodie that I got from Joe at Obvious Shirt.
All right.
But I'm wearing that half Cubs, half White Sox jersey, and the plan is to stay in it all freaking day.
As long as the sun stays out, you guys are nice and warm. It feels good?
Feels good, all right. And we're just loosened up now, so about 4 miles in.
Kev, let me ask you a question. So far, how many people have you told the Kevin Garnett story to?
I haven't because I've been using the Dirk Nowitzki story.
That's even better, yeah. Right. And I did see the video on Twitter. There are some fans out there. Does somebody had a sign, it looked like?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Our listeners are so awesome. And so it's there's four of us walking. It's me, Darren Utnick, who's the executive director of Bernie's Book Bank, our guy Sammy Frasco is keeping us safe, and Greg Braggs, who is one of our greatest listeners. So
you and Braggs.
The four of us are making our way down. We're north of Fullerton. I think we're coming up, I don't know, Belmont Avenue. That's where we're coming up.
Two peas in a pod, Cap and Braggs, commiserating about Mitch and how Mahomes goes for five touchdowns last night.
Yep, no question.
Cap, do you envision this ending like how it ends at, you know, Rocky II, where he starts running and all the kids start running? Will you be that way when you get close to the end,
start
Cap,
running,
or no?
Yeah. Everybody with you?
Carm said, actually, I'm more like Forrest Gump.
Yes, that's more what it is.
Okay.
It's more Forrest Gump.
That's true.
He might still have a bunch of people with him, though. All right, walk safe. Stay hydrated.
Walk safe. All right, and people could donate at walkasonechicago.com.
Walkasonechicago.com. All right, Cap, see you tomorrow.
See you, boys.
All right, there he is. He's about 4 miles in. We've settled on the Reds. We're getting them at 28-1. Let's go Reds. Now you know, as long as it's, you know, listen, if it's the White Sox, I'm going to have to cheer for the White Sox. The bet will be damned. But for you guys, if it's Cubs and Reds in the NLCS, good luck to you. I don't know. But if it's White Sox-Reds, I'm cheering for the White Sox. So, but other than that, I'm a Reds fan. I'm a White Sox fan first. I'm a Reds fan second in the playoffs. That is the wager we won last year on the Nationals. We won in 14 with the Giants, remember, at about a 12-1 shot. And we've got the Reds at 28-1 to win the World Series. Let's say hi to George real quick. George, what's going on?
Guys, I like the Bears to cover for sure this weekend. There's no quitting the Bears. Nagy's got the team together. Foles can take the top off of any defense. He's a nightmare to prepare for. Now these defenses, I guess the Bears are going to have to prepare a whole different way.
Yeah.
I say go Bears, 6-0. Keep it going, baby.
Thanks, George.
Bears.
George likes the Bears on the money line, +125. You get them at 2.5 or 3 points. Sal Palantonio texted Danny Zetterman this morning and said, Nicky Five Fingers getting points at home to the Colts. Take it to the bank.
That's from Sal Pal directly.
That was Sal's advice. I love it.
By the way, when he gets to Duffy's Tavern on Belmont, he'll be exactly 4.1 miles away from the station.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's getting there.
As the crow flies.
Jim's in Elburn on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Oh, hey, guys. JD stole my thunder a little bit talking about Tariq Cohen, but I just wanted to throw in there. I hate to see anybody get injured, but I personally feel, I'd like to go on record as saying, I think the Bears will be more productive without him. That's just my opinion.
Well, okay. I mean, he was only touching the ball six times a game, guys. You know,
six to ten.
You have to ask yourself, how much are you going to really miss those six touches?
You know, when he touches him, he can make some stuff happen. He is a threat because of his speed. If you get him out in space and scheme him open, good things can happen.
I think he had 4 or 5 touches in the game against Atlanta, and he was productive in those touches.
He was. He was. But it's still only 4 or 5 touches.
Right, yeah.
I know.
You know, he's still limited the amount of times he's actually getting to be productive.
Greeny's coming up next. White Sox baseball at 2. Black and Abdallah on the baseball show postgame after that. You'll get the Cubs here tomorrow on ESPN 1000. But first things first, game one. What a game it should be. Giolito versus Lizardo in Oakland. White Sox and A's. And it's the first postseason game for the White Sox, Yurko, in 12 years. Let's go, Sox. Remember, Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting some of the best bars in the area. Today it's Butcher's Tap on Southport. Great food. Indoor, outdoor TVs, lots of space to socially distance. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win that summer cooler. Butcher's Tap and Sam Adams helping you celebrate the return of sports. Thank you to Jeff Dickerson and Catman and Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, Randy Merkin. Job well done, and thank you for listening and calling and participating. Go White Sox. That game's coming up after Greeny in a couple hours, then Black and Abdallah after that. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
Well, I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!
.org/donate.
Oscar is not disabled. He's a differently able.
The fact that he was going to be on the same track as able.
Hey, this is the fact.